So it's really, it's over to you with some questions. Have we got anyone to kick us off?
I think one thing that I would be interested to know is, I know that around the group we are at various different stages with social media, and I think it varies a great deal from market to market. I was wondering if anybody wanted to share anything that they had been doing that they thought would be useful maybe to tell the rest of the group.
Okay, we've got a hand up here from Laurie. Laurie, your line's now unmuted, so feel free to speak.
Okay, I could tell you, I don't know who just asked that, what we do here in the U.S. I'm at MillerCoors in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm curious if anyone from SAB Miller is able to answer the question. Here at MillerCoors, it is a gray area on who owns the process, and I liked the fact that you suggested, Josh and Ben, that it's a cross-functional team. I'm in public relations, brand public relations, and we've tried to take a little bit of an ownership role in creating some social media with some of our brands, particularly our craft brands, because it seems our competitors are ahead of the game or ahead of us on this. But I'm wondering, at SAB Miller, is there a digital team that has kind of taken the lead in preparing these cross-functional teams, or is the media team taking a lead? Just curious, because it's really been a gray area, and we don't really have a digital team here anymore.
Should I pick that one up, Ben?
If you want to pick that one up first with your thoughts for SAB Miller, we can perhaps give you some ideas on what we've seen other companies doing and what perhaps we might recommend.
Thank you.
Mary, it's Bianca here from the SAB Miller PLC Media Relations team. And we have, as you know, set up this training. So I think how it's working at the moment, and we're certainly still finding our feet, which is why we have got Ben and Justin to help us. We are very much looking at it because it's external communications. We feel that media relations has an enormous role to play. You know, after all, it's called social media. So we also, within the PLC Corporate Affairs team, have an e-comms manager who has recently been appointed, called Simon Thresh. So we are working together at the moment because we feel it's really important to be integrated. However, the one place that we haven't gone to yet is the marketing teams. And I think that there will come a time where we have to work closely with them. We will have to develop guidelines and policies on how we work with them. But it's such early days, but it's definitely being driven and spearheaded by corporate affairs, both in media relations and the e-comms manager who is within corporate affairs.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that, because then I don't feel bossy trying to take the lead on this. You know, because people, I do feel it's appropriate as a member of the media working hand in hand with our media relations director, you know, I think we can take the lead on this.
I think, yeah, I'm just, I mean, in our, it's Justin here. I mean, the work that It's Open does is that we find that it's often the media teams who get onto social media first, because, you know, you are in the, you're in the front line, so to speak. You become, you know, increasingly aware of where the business's audiences are. You're closest to, you know, how the media is changing. And it's challenging times. There's no question at all about it. And, you know, we're talking to lots of organisations, particularly to the media teams, who feel that their model for engaging with the media is largely based on a traditional media model. And they're realising that social media is becoming more important. And the challenge for them is, well, you know, how do we create a model which is going to make us effective for dealing with social media? And one of the discussions that's going on at the moment on blogs about news, for example, is that there's this theory that news used to be like a product. So the journalist wrote the news story, packaged it all up in the newspaper, and that was it, the end of the story. Similarly, you'd have companies who would spend a lot of time packaging up a particular press release, get it approved, and then out it would go. What's tending to happen now with social media is that news is becoming a process, and we're seeing this internationally as well. So there could be an incident in Iran, or events in Iran or China, And we can see the news constantly evolving through Twitter and through blogs and through Facebook and YouTube. And this is starting to affect organisations as well. So you could issue a press release, but then it would only take a comment on a blog or on Twitter or something on YouTube, which would change the whole tone, and your press release would become rapidly irrelevant. So it is a challenging time, but there are ways and methods through which you can actually, which you can put in place to enable you to begin to harness social media to your advantage.
And it's the anchor again, Laurie. I just wanted to add one thing there that's to kind of build on what Justin was saying, which is that the face of media is changing so much that we are increasingly looking to generate our own content and not relying so heavily on journalists. And social media is a great way for us to look at harnessing people who are out there to start generating content for us and missing out the middleman of the journalist who we have traditionally been so reliant on.
Right. My biggest question there is, and we can't predict the future, is when will it be info overload and blogs and folks that are commenting be just people on a soapbox versus the credibility of what we used to consider credibility of getting our news from a source of the real news.
Hi, Laurie. That's a really interesting point. And, we've done research for organisations who have wanted to find out, you know, what are people saying about them through blogs and Twitter, and who should they be paying attention to? That is a challenge, no question about it. But there are plenty of software packages out there, and we've got a really good one ourselves, which we use, which can enable you to identify who are the most influential blogs or sites in your particular market. Now, how that's decided is, one of the factors that decides that is, you know, how many people are linking to that particular blog, who's linking to it, what position does it have on a search engine. So there's quite a lot of activity going on by organizations in that area in order to analyze, you know, who are the influencers, and that gives you a lot of assistance. I think the other thing is that the opportunity for you here is that traditionally PR people, as Bianca quite rightly pointed out, have had to go through, you know, the middle person, go through the journalist, the gatekeeper, in order to get your coverage. So you'd use your skills to sell your story in and to get free coverage in the newspaper. And sometimes that could be quite tricky and quite difficult because they wouldn't want to publish what you want them to publish, or they cut it short, or you can't get your story covered. The big opportunity for corporates, we believe, that it's open, is that in the same way as individuals find it quite liberating to be able to publish their own videos and set up their own blogs, is that you can create your own media. So one of the opportunities that you have is that you, as a PR person, as a PR team, as communications professionals, you can create your own media, and then you can build up the credibility of your own media channels. Something we're doing with Shell at the moment is that we are developing a media blog with Shell. And the idea behind that is that they create a channel which is credible, which puts out their news, where they use that to link to blog stories and say, well, that particular blog story is incorrect and this bit of information needs to be taken into account. So once you actually create your own platforms, your own social media platforms, you feel more in control. And you have more of an opportunity to edit and point out to your stakeholders, you know, what they should pay attention to and what they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's good. I like the example a lot.
Is that your question answered, Laurie? We've got another question waiting.
Thank you. And if anyone else has their hand up, I do have one last question. So, but you can take others first.
Can we come back to you and answer the other
question? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. We have a question from Juan David Lee. I'm just taking you off mute now so you can speak.
All right. Hello, Ben. Hello, Bianca. Right. Ben, I've got a question. I've got a question about about the utilities, the social media utilities. As you know, here in Bavaria, we are considered ourselves that we have a very low level of activity in terms of social media. So the question is, what would be the utilities or social media tools that you would suggest to start with, taking into account the listen, participate, and lead process that Ben just mentioned? In other words, what would be the the best tool that would allow us, now to listen the best to our audiences?
I think my answer to that would be that, first of all, obviously, you know, we're having discussions with Bianca and her team, and we're working out, you know, what are the best policies, what are the best ways for, what are the best guidelines for particular parts of the business to engage with their markets. My advice to you at this early stage would be to listen and to see, you know, which particular social media networks are gaining the most attention of your audience. So you should use tools like Blog Pulse or Ice Rocket or Technorati, and have a look and see what people are saying. And I think that you should then be looking to use the tools that your customers are using. But you could actually firstly begin by commenting on their blogs or commenting on what it is that they've written. But I wouldn't recommend doing that until you've got some good guidelines in place so that you can present the company in the best way. So I think that research and see what your customers and stakeholders are saying through social media and follow those conversations, and then with guidelines begin to participate and put comments on their blogs. And then when it builds up, when you start to get a kind of more of a critical mass, say you start to find that they're all using blogs more often than others, then that might be the time to actually think, well, maybe we should begin to create our own blog.
Excellent. Great. Thank you.
Okay. I think, in the absence of any other hands that are up, we are going to go back to Laurie for her second question. So bear with me a second. I've just taken her off. Laurie, your line's open again, so feel free to ask your next question.
Okay. My question was related to legal, and it's kind of twofold. The legal parameters of, with Facebook, I know there's a built-in age verification, so we've been okay with that. But Twitter, I know our legal department is somewhat hesitant because there is not a built-in age verification. Not sure if Whole Foods is an example you use, and the age verification wouldn't matter to them, but being that we're alcohol, I'm wondering if you've given some considerations to that, working with SAB Miller. The second part of my legal question is, by putting a forum out there on, you know, asking for ideas, do we take off the whole, typically we can't accept unsolicited ideas, or all of a sudden if our marketing team would implement an idea that a customer or a consumer submitted, we could be open to lawsuits. And I'm wondering if by putting a forum out there asking for ideas, we're doing a blanket release that if we use your ideas, we're not paying you a cent type thing, and we're in the clear. Just some comments after seeing your presentation.
Okay, Laurie. On the
Can I come in?
Yeah, sure.
Just back to the age verification point, and in particular Twitter. SAB Miller PLC does Twitter, and it's obviously something we gave consideration before we started, before we went out there. And there are a number of things you can do. What we have done, and what was signed off by Kristen Wolf, the head of alcohol policy, and by Sue Clark, was that we have put in the information about who we are. We have said, please, this is only for users over the age of 18 or over the age of 21 in the US. And then every time a new follower joins, I personally check their profile, and if they are not very obviously of legal drinking age or older, I will personally message them to check. But at the moment, the profile of Twitter users seems to be way, way, way over legal drinking age. It doesn't seem to be of any interest to young people, certainly not under the age of legal drinking. So from a Twitter perspective, I feel like we're on relatively safe ground. But the other thing that you can do is you can put in a measure which means that people have to request to follow you, and then you can allow them subject to your own filtering. So that would be one way of managing that as well. I think that would be something to consider, particularly from a brand point of view. Now, when it comes to intellectual property and things like that, I wouldn't have first clue, but I'm sure there would be people around our organisation who do. Justin or Ben, you may have more of an idea on that.
Yeah, I thought Bianca made some really good points there. I mean, Laurie, on the Ideas Forum, what we showed you that Dell's running and Starbucks does a similar one. I think that it's important to bear in mind that they're at a very advanced stage in terms of participating in social media. So that's certainly not a first step, and that is way down the line, I think, in terms of where SAB Miller is now. But in terms of any kind of social media engagement that you do with your stakeholders, clearly it has to be managed very carefully, and you've got to work through, you know, what are the best practice policies for this. For the Ideas Forum that they have on Dell, you've got to register to get involved. They then have sort of strict policies on how they feed back and keep the conversation going with customers. And I think you're absolutely right. It has to be managed really carefully because, you know, if somebody puts forward lots of ideas and then the company uses them, you know, what's the sort of legal standing of that? Absolutely agree with you on that one. But there are quite a few examples of companies using some of these forums commercially, and they have very sort of clear policies on how an individual might get paid if their idea is taken up. We've just given you a snapshot today of how you can use those kind of forums, but, you know, we could go into that in more depth. But you can set them up, and there's all sorts of guidelines and house rules you can put around them to make sure that you're protected. I think the other point to make is that, you know, you're saying on Twitter you know, you've got the age restrictions on Facebook. I think the point to remember here is that we are going through a significant cultural communication change here. And from a legal point of view, what we're finding is that sometimes the approach of a legal department to traditional media is totally inappropriate to social media. So we've seen examples with other clients where, you know, a lawyer has put a comment on a blog, and the blogger has then talked about it and shared it with the other bloggers and said, look, they're being really heavy-handed with us. So I think it's really important as part of the kind of education process for any organisation getting involved with social media that the legal teams are involved in that as well, and that they actually have the opportunity to understand the culture of social media. I'm not saying it should be a free-for-all for 1 minute, but I think it's important that the legal team is involved in this just as much as everyone else, which is why we think the kind of steering group idea works best. I think the other thing, though, to remember is that, you know, we have lots of ideas of how we would like social media to be or how it should be. The fact is that what companies are actually sort of acknowledging is that they've really got to go to where the customers are. And, you know, some of the stakeholders and customers could be using networks which might surprise you. You know, sometimes we go in to see an organisation and they say, well, you know, there's nobody talking about us on Facebook at all. And then you do some research and they discover that they are, in fact, using Facebook. So you have to keep quite an open mind about, you know, where people are and what activities they're getting on with. When we did the blog for Shell and we set that up, there was huge concerns from the legal side about, you know, what would be said online, how could they manage it, you know, what happens if someone got on and put a virus on it or something like that. And there's all sorts of software that's available to protect you. There's moderation software that you can use. So, for example, there's a kind of software that you can use which filters out swearing and abuse and things like that. And also you can actually moderate comments, for instance. So you can actually delay any comment from being posted until you've vetted it, and then it gets published publicly. So you can, like, hold it in a chamber room, look at it, and then approve, you know, whether it goes through or not. So there's all kind. You can still have control in social media in terms of what you decide to publish and what you don't publish. It looks kind of quite free and easy and accessible online, but a lot of commercial organisations, when you dig deep, will see that you register. But then when you publish a comment, it doesn't necessarily go on straight away because they have vetting policies in place to protect the interests of the company and protect the interests of the other users as well.
Okay. Laurie, I hope you found that useful.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We've got no further hands up. And so unless anyone has any further pressing questions they want to ask now, we might move on. Justin's got one further point to make, sorry.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank Bianca and Nigel for giving us this opportunity to talk to everybody. And I think it's really encouraging and really healthy that, you know, SAB Miller is having this kind of frank, open conversation about social media. And I think, you know, the more of this we do, the better, really, because it gives everyone the opportunity to share their concerns, but also look at the opportunities that are out there for the organisation to make kind of fresh connections with its key stakeholders.
Yeah, and I would just like to add to that 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 this is just the first webinar. There will be more to come. So everybody, keep your eyes open. The next webinar will be on blogging and Twitter specifically, so going into much more detail on those two subjects. But also, please don't forget that this webinar will be available on WebBrew if you'd like to in a few days once it's been recorded, and we will make that available. And if anybody has any questions that they want to follow up on SAB Miller's approach or generally about social media, please come to us and we'd be only too happy to help.
And echoing that, if you have any more general questions, myself and Justin are happy to help. You've all got my email address from having organised this webinar, and we can either point you in the direction of some useful information that already exists, or we can perhaps use the questions you've asked us to drive future ones of these webinars. If that's it and that's all our questions, then I can say that we're finished here. And thank you all so much for your time. Really appreciate the interactivity of this as well. And I think that it's really encouraging to see you guys thinking about this so deeply. Thanks a lot.